and to bring me to a place where I experience God's success in my life. Notice, I didn't say worldly success. God measures success very differently than the world. And so I want God's will. I want God's plan. I want to walk in the victory that He has for my life. And in order for that to happen, I've got to trust in God to help me succeed. I've got to trust in the Lord and lean not on thy own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. How many know we have a propensity to make our path curvy? God's going to straighten it out, right? We have a tendency to make our path like this. God is going to straighten it out. Here's what it ought to look like. Are you with me? Are you with me? All right. I just had to do that. All right. But you got to depend on Him. You've already proven that you can't do it on your own. Right? You need Him. Some people just don't get it. They stumble and they fall. Then they get up and they say, I've got to try harder. You can't change on your own. Trying harder ain't going to make it. A new resolution won't do it. Willpower won't do it. Zechariah told us a long time ago, the prophet said that it's not by, say it with me, might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. In other words, you will not succeed by your own strength. You will not succeed by your own power, but by the Spirit of the Lord, all things are possible. I'm praying that God gives you an impossible vision for your life so that you can understand what God can do in your life. I want you to understand God can. God can do what you could never imagine for Him to do. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or even imagine. And the secret to success is to depend on Him. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person. You're not the same anymore. So that path you've been on, God's going to put you on a new path. And God is going to enable you to walk in the way that He wants you to walk in. I want to say that God has programmed you for success. I'm not a positive self-help preacher. The success I'm talking about is God's will. And God will enable you to accomplish that. God did not engineer you for failure. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to walk in the victory. And I have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The tragic thing is that few people know the will of God, much less do the will of God. Ooh, let me say that again. The tragedy is few people know the will of God, and less people even know how to accomplish the will of God. So if you're a child of God, God has given you a wonderful, wonderful promise. And that promise is a promise of guidance, a promise of power to walk in the path that He has planned for your life. That was too many P's. I was going, pa 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 pa. That's how some Christians live. Pa 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 pa. That was anointed. Pa 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 pa. No, God, listen, let me say it. If you're a child of God, God has given you a wonderful promise. And that promise is a promise of guidance, a promise of power to walk in the plan that God has laid out for your life. A little better the second time, huh? Now, stay with me. Proverbs 3:5, I've already quoted it to you, but I want you to read it. I want you to memorize it. I want you to live by it. Amen? Because it doesn't matter what this preacher says. It matters what God says. Speaks directly to your heart, and His word is powerful. Read it with me. Is it up there? Let's read it together. Let's read it out loud. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. What is God's plan for successful living? I didn't get this outline out of a book. I got it out of God's word. Here it is. If you can't preach this scripture, you might as well go be a plumber or something, you know. This scripture preaches itself. All right? Number one is trust in the Lord. Number two is in all your ways acknowledge him. Number three, he will make your path straight. That's God's word. And here's what the text shows us. Number one, full dependence. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's full dependence, right? Full dependence. Number two, faithful direction. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct thy path. And the third one is forceful dynamic. Now, you may not have caught that one yet. Full dependence is clear. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And faithful direction, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Third point is not as clear, but it's as powerful as you and I could need to understand. Here it is. Forceful dynamic. He will not only direct your path, but he will enable you to walk on that path. It's one thing to know the way to go. It's another thing to have a supernatural ability from God to walk in that way. See, what he's going to do is he's going to take you down a path, and you're going to say, I can't do that, Lord. And he's going to say, yes, you can. He's going to pick you up and carry you. Amen? So what we have here is, number one, if you do not have a sermon outline, I want you to write this down. Full dependence. Number two, faithful direction. Number three, forceful dynamic. He shall enable you to walk on that path. What I want you to see in this text is a premise, a promise, and a provision. The premise is this. There's something you got to do. You've got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then the promise is he will direct you. How many want his direction for your life? Number three, there will be a provision. And the provision will be the forceful, dynamic power of God at work in your life, enabling you to walk in the way that he's laid down for you. That's good. That's preaching, brother, sister. That is. If you want to be a preacher, you preach like that. Just preach this. Just preach the word. It preaches for itself. He's saying for us to succeed in this fresh start that we're looking for, we've got to put our full confidence in the Lord. And why do people find that difficult? Why do people find it hard to trust in the Lord? Well, I can tell you this. Trust is just a hard thing, isn't it? Trust is hard, and it's hard to trust someone you don't know. Think about that. It's hard to trust someone you don't know. I mean, if a perfect stranger were to walk up to you today and say, will you do something for me? What's your first question? Who are you? What's your second question? What do you want? What's your third question? How fast are you going to get out of here? Think about it. If a stranger says, trust me, hear it, trust me, will you do something for me? But how many know the whole story, the whole picture changes when someone you trust asks you that question? If your wife were to ask you to do something for you, what are you going to say? What? Huh? Yes, dear. Oh, the first thing out of your mouth might be, what is it? And then if she says, just trust me, if you have a lick of sense, if you got enough, if you got any wisdom at all, you're going to say, yes, dear, and you're going to close your eyes. You're going to go, and then she might say to you, open your mouth. Close your eyes and open your mouth. Now, if a stranger were to ask you to do that, what are you going to? No, you'd say, get out of here, right? But if your wife asks you to do that, guess what? You're going to open your mouth. You know why? Because Mark knows if his wife says,
Oh, close your eyes, open your mouth. She's got something good she's going to put in his mouth. Because she knows it. She's a great cook. And she, if she says that, then he can rest assured. Why? Because he knows her. You can't know somebody. You can't trust somebody you do not know. Think about that. And if you have a problem trusting God, here's why. Perhaps you don't know him like you should. If you can't trust in the Lord, then listen, you may need to make a new concerted effort to get to know God, because when you get to know God and you know him, it's to trust him. To know him is to love him. To love him is to trust him. And to trust him is to obey him. And to obey him is to be blessed. Did you hear that? If you can't trust him with all your heart, then what you need to do is get in the Word and get in church more and pray and seek the Lord. And the more you understand who God is, the more you're going to trust him. And when he says, oh, close your eyes and open your mouth, what are you going to do? Yes, Lord. Right? Why? Because you know you can trust him. You know that he loves you. You know that he's going to take good care of you. Now, the Bible says here, do not trust. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on what? Your own understanding. At verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Now, that's a problem for many people. We think we know how to make it happen. Chapter 14, verse 12 of Proverbs says this. Read it with me or quote it with me. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Why is it that we have a hard time trusting? Why is it that we lean on our own understanding? I'll tell you why. It's because maybe we don't know the Lord like we should. And number two, we just can't let go. We want to be what? In control. We want to do it ourselves. Listen to the prophet Jeremiah. All I'm sharing with you tonight is the word of God. Jeremiah 10, verse 23 and 24. I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. How many know that's true? And notice verse 24. So correct me, Lord, but please be gentle. I love that verse. Correct me, Lord. I can't plan my own way. Correct me, Lord, but would you please be gentle? I'm thankful we serve a God who is loving, a God who is full of grace, full of mercy, and he will correct you, but he will be gentle. But you've got to get rid of your own stubbornness, and you've got to not lean on your own understanding, but you've got to trust in the Lord's wisdom for your life. We have to come to the realization we do not have what it takes to figure out our way. We've got to find it in the Lord's wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 says, my child, I want you to hear this. Listen to what I say. Treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom. Concentrate on understanding. See, it's not just a matter of, oh, just trust the Lord, just trust the Lord, just trust the Lord. No, you have got to treasure his commands. Treasure his word. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Verse 3, cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. Search for them as if you would for silver. Seek them like a hidden treasure. Now, I kind of referred to this earlier about a treasure in your backyard. Well, it was really an illustration in the sermon, so let me go to that illustration. What if you knew tonight that in your backyard somewhere there was $1 million buried 4 feet deep? What if you knew for certainty that it was there? What would you do? I mean, it's there somewhere 4 feet deep in your backyard, $1 million. What would you do? Well, I know one thing for certain. You wouldn't be here tonight in this church service. In fact, I probably wouldn't be here tonight in this church service. I would be calling in sick, and I'd be showing up in your backyard before you got there. I'd be spading around. We'll go find that $1 million, right? Why? Because if we knew for certain it was there, I'm going to find it. I mean, that's God's blessing on my life, right? Amen. So the point that I'm making is, if we knew there was $1 million, we'd be out there. We'd be serious about finding it. And if it started to get dark and I hadn't found it yet, I'd probably set up lights, you know? And I'd probably get after it some more. I probably wouldn't think about sleeping. I wouldn't think about eating. I'm going to find that $1 million, give 10% to the church, 10% to missions. Awful quiet in here. My point is this, folks. God says we're to search for wisdom as if it were a buried treasure. When was the last time that you sought for wisdom like you would search for gold if you knew it was there? Hey, do you know it's here? I mean, seriously, do you know it's here? Do I need to preach it? If I know it's here, if there was $1 million in your backyard, you wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be going over to somebody's house to play cards. You wouldn't be going to McDonald's. You wouldn't be going to a basketball game. You wouldn't be sitting on your couch watching KU. Who cares about KU? There's $1 million in my backyard. I'm going to find it. There's $1 million in this word. Do I have the hunger for it? I'm beating around on this pulpit because I want you to feel it. You got it? Amen. I totally lost my place here in my notes. Oh, wow. Wow, I beat on the pulpit, I beat on my iPad. All right. What's that? In closing. Okay. All right. In closing, Lord, here we go. I'm almost done, brother. That was really good. That was really good. So my point is this, there's got to be complete confidence, full dependence. And when there's full dependence and complete confidence, it will lead to consistent compliance. And when you begin to obey the Lord and trust the Lord, God is going to bless your life in ways like you've never known before. And I am getting ready to close. But listen to this. Listen, let me read to you about a young African believer. He wrote these words, and I love them. He said, I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. Who? Feel that? Yeah, I bet he's a preacher. My face is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I won't give up, shut up, let up till I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till everyone knows, work till he stops me, and then he comes for his own. He will have no trouble recognizing me because my banner will be clear. Oh, aren't you glad I didn't close? I'm telling you what, this church needs a pastor like that. This church needs deacons like that. This church needs teachers like that. This church needs teenagers like that. This church needs sound people like that. This church needs people who are dedicated, trusting in the Lord, leaning not on their own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledging him, knowing that he will direct your path. And I know what you're thinking. Some people don't want to commit their life to the Lord like that because they're afraid. If I do that, then God is going to ask me to do something that I don't want to do. He'll probably send me to Africa. I touched on this Wednesday night. When I was in Bible school, you know, sometimes we wrestled with that very thought. Man, if I go full bore for God, he might cause me to do something I don't want to do. But when you begin to understand there's nothing better than the full will of God for your life, when you experience the love of God that casts out all fear, I'm not saying, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. It's not talking about your love, it's talking about God's love. And if you're living with fear today, what you need to experience is the perfect love of God. And when you know God, you can trust God. When you trust God, you obey God. When you obey God, you'll be blessed. And you'll walk in the way that he has for you. You'll experience a fresh start. You'll overcome like you've never overcome before. You'll serve like you've never served before. You'll love like you've never loved before. You'll give like you've never given before. And when he comes for you, he'll know you because your banner will be clear. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've loved us so much. You gave your very best. You gave your best for us. Lord, when you sent your son, you could not have done anything that would be better. And I thank you, Lord, that he that spared not his own son, how shall he not also freely give us all things? Thank you, Lord, that you gave your son the very best. Our heads are bowed, but I want you to lift your heads and look at me for one moment, and then we're going to celebrate Holy Communion. You know, if I were to buy John an expensive ring, you think I'd skimp on the wrapping paper? If I spent thousands of dollars to buy her a ring, would I skimp on the wrapping paper? When God gave his son, it's like spending an unbelievable amount of money for you. When you have a need, do you think he's going to skimp? He who did not spare his only son, how will he not also give us all things? See, we worry about so much in this life. If God has already given us his best, don't you think he cares about your house payment? Don't you think he cares about your retirement? Don't you think that he cares about your kids? See, what we need to do is trust him. We try to work it out. We try to do this. We got to try to do that. But what we got to do is pray. Seek God. Trust the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll not only direct your path, but he will provide the forceful, dynamic power that will enable you to walk on that path to do what you could never do in yourself. So, Father, tonight, give us the faith to believe you for that. And, Lord, in the quietness of this moment, while we prepare our hearts for communion, I pray you cleanse us. Purify us, fill us with thy Holy Spirit, and may your presence be.